time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello everybody and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up with the Saturday morning sun, plop down in the living room for the big bowl of sugary cereal and watch all your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And this morning, we watched Dino Riders. Dino Riders. That's not the song at all. But
it's not even much of a song as much of it's just kind of talking about it.
There's light music in the background, but it does just describe it to you.
Well, somebody's like
deep in the space. There's dinosaurs and people, and they ride on dinosaurs. The Dino Riders.
Deep in the space.
I don't know why that happened. And this was chosen by Joseph.
Yeah, I chose this because last weekend was my birthday, so it was my turn to pick.
Yeah, so you got to watch this for your birthday.
Yeah, because I've been talking about this show to Chris for as long as I've known Chris, and even before that.
Yes, a long, long, long time.
Yeah, this was a show that I cherished from childhood, and it was one I had wanted to catch back up and watch again, and I hadn't for so long. So the show Dino Riders aired in 1988, created and developed by Jerry Conway and Carla Conway, produced by Marvel Productions and Tyco Toys. So it ran for one season, 13 episodes, and then it kind of had a second season. We've had a lot of shows in a row that have had like weird, they haven't really had extra seasons. They've had new shows that were made in place of additional seasons. And it was the same for this one. The new show for this one was called Dino Riders in the Ice Age, where...
What?
They use the step crystal again and go a little bit further to the Ice Age.
Oh, so my God. Really?
That only was one episode. So officially, there's 14 episodes of Dino Riders. And the 14th episode is the first and only episode of Dino Riders in the Ice Age.
I'm guessing that one didn't go over well.
No, the toy line flopped. The show flopped. Like, this was actually a very popular show and toy line at the time, but then they tried to go a different direction with it and they messed up so bad that they just killed it all after that.
How does something like that like ruin itself so bad that it gets canceled? But something like the Michael Bay Transformers movies somehow keep on going.
Oh man, I don't know. I have no idea. This was first run syndication, so it just was airing all over the place. Whoever would take it. For a short synopsis, like we were talking about earlier a little bit, actually, pursued by intergalactic warlord Krulos and his Rulons, human Valorians fly through a wormhole and end up on prehistoric Earth. Krulos follows and becomes stuck in prehistory as well. Both sides build dinosaur armies and engage. Engage.
They get engaged.
They get engaged and
to
married.
Dinosaurs.
And then it's dino marriage.
I would like to see that kind of ceremony. How's that work?
So, Chris, who are some of the actors who played in this one?
So the voices of Questar and Vector, Dan Gilvezan, who also voiced Peter Parker from Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, as well as Bumblebee from the original Transformers. And he also voiced main characters in G.I. Joe, Centurions, Jim, and the all-new Dennis the Menace. The voice of Mind's Eye, oh God, Gunner and Antor was Peter Cullen, who was Optimus Prime in the Generation 1 Transformers cartoons and the current movies, as well as Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. And he's been in tons and tons of other cartoons, but we haven't done a lot of them yet, unfortunately, like Savage Dragon, Challenge of the GoBots, and Dungeons & Dragons. Hint, hint, hint. I keep dropping hints.
Savage Dragon would be interesting.
The voice of Youngstar was Joe Colligan, who was mostly known for being Orin in the movie Star Chaser, The Legend of Orin. It's very self-explanatory. The voice of Serena was Noelle North, who played Kelly in the classic cartoon Fred and Barney Meet the Thing. Another one that I really need to get requested. Come on, guys. She was also in Jim, The Smurfs, The Legend of Prince Valiant, and also in Star Chaser, The Legend of Orin. The characters of Turret, Hammerhead, and Locus were Charlie Adler. And of course, he comes from the same camp as all the other ones with Transformers, Jim, G.I. Joe, Smurfs. And he's well known by us for voicing Ickis in the show Ah, Real Monsters.
Nice. That's how you say it.
And tons more cartoons from the 90s into the 2000s, and he's still going today. The voice of Lad was Steven Dorff. The voice of Tag was Wally Burr. The voices of Icon, Arrow, and Croc was Cam Clark, who was the voice of Canada in the English dub of Akira. He's also in Snorks, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, Extravaganza, and he was the voice of Leo and Rocksteady from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and tons of other 90s cartoons that you were in love with, especially the obscure ones. Lots of obscure 90s cartoons. And then finally, Emperor, Krulos, and Rasp. Their voices were done by Frank Welker, who has the longest resume I have ever seen on IMDb. He was Fred from Scooby-Doo. He was Iceman in Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, which I didn't know until recently. Dr. Claw and Inspector Gadget, Megatron and Soundwave and Transformers. And he's constantly popping up, voicing animals and random creatures, I think pretty much every other week for our show now. This list would just go on and on and on and on, and we're just going to keep seeing him in pretty much every other episode we do on this show. So, yeah, Frank Welker, he's everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, in this, as Krulos, there was a very much a Dr. Claw voice to it.
Except for one mistake that I will point out later.
Okay. For a few tasty marshmallows out of our big bowl of Dino Rider cereal, Questar's look was based on combining He-Man and Captain Kirk from Star Trek.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense now, because, like, the hair, dude. The first time I saw him, I was like, that's total He-Man hair right there.
Yeah, that's that the rhymed. First thing I didn't mean to do that. Total He-Man hair, right there.
Right there.
Right there.
There it is.
The dinosaurs were acclaimed for their highly detailed bodies and color and impressed the Smithsonian Institution, who contacted Tyco to reproduce the dinosaurs, without the motorized mechanisms and wheels, of course, for their dinosaur and other prehistoric reptile collection.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, this was due to a dinosaur illustrator, William Stout, who was credited for the dinosaur design in the show's credits. So the wow. Smithsonian saw these toys and was like, wow, these are so well detailed that we want them for our museum, just minus the weapons.
So, like, I guess the Smithsonian couldn't have dinosaurs with guns.
Probably no lasers allowed, yeah.
But that would be, like, I'd rather remember that history, you know, than just plain old dinosaurs. I want dinosaurs with, like, lasers and stuff like that.
Right, this takes dinosaurs up to a new level.
It's a real dinosaur.
Yeah, you can't look at dinosaurs the same way anymore after watching this.
Oh, definitely not.
So, Marvel released a three-part miniseries for Dino Riders comics. The comic storyline were considered to be much darker than the cartoon, sometimes focusing on conflicts between the Valorians. For instance, one storyline involves Questar being accused of murdering his jealous, scheming brother, Tark.
They did go a little dark.
Yeah, they got a little bit darker. But so I guess there were only three issues of it. But I think at this point, they're all collected in a trade. And I've never seen it before, but it's got to be somewhere.
So I'm like, now I'm kind of wondering why they didn't try to keep going with the comic, or if we'll get some sort of reboot of the comic at some point, because they started rebooting a lot of their old properties, like Rom,
yeah,
Space Knight. Like, he was really old. They rebooted him like a year ago.
Also Mask, they rebooted as a comic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not the Mask, but Mask, the Mobile Armored Strike Commandos. Is that what it was?
Mask.
We watched it, yeah.
Yeah.
But, oh, I think also in the toys, at least in the larger toys, they had mini comics kind of with them, like,
oh, cool.
Like really small ones. So there are probably a lot of like tiny comics out there of Dino Riders that I just don't know about. I just know the only time that they actually tried to publicize one that's like, you know, 23 pages or whatever a typical comic is, was in that three-part right. miniseries.
That's cool. You know, I've never seen another toy that's done that aside from Beast Wars. And not every Beast War had it. It was just a few select Beast Wars had those tiny comic books that came with them too, that were like, you know, the size of like postcards or something like that.
Yeah, that's probably what they are. I know Transformers has done that, and Spawn also, the original Spawn figures had comics with them.
Oh, I never got any of those, but my friend had the clown and he was creepy.
Yeah.
I didn't like him.
Oh, also something I had read a little bit earlier that I had no idea about, and I don't know, I don't know how much truth is to this, but supposedly, there is a live-action Dino Riders that is currently in the works as of 2015, and they're making nice. Headway on it. I don't know what that means. I don't know how far that is, but that's just what I had read. So
that's interesting, because around that time, a script was leaked out, and it was talking about dinosaurs that had guns mounted on them and stuff.
Mm.
And people kept thinking that that was, I think it was, it might've been pre-2015, but people thought that that was the script for Jurassic Park 4. But then the actual script for Jurassic Park 4 got leaked. So then they changed gears from the actual one and we got Jurassic World. But now I'm starting to wonder if that was actually like part of the script for a Dino Riders movie.
Oh, that would be amazing.
That would be pretty. Dude, I would watch it. I think that would be cool.
Could you,
as long as they like go as like crazy with it as possible, like just embrace the ridiculousness of it.
Yeah, I need
to be awesome. Like, you know, like Starship Troopers style or something. Just, you know, embrace the sci-fi.
Yeah, yeah. Don't take itself too seriously. Just have fun with it. And it's dinosaurs with weapons mounted on them fighting each other. It's awesome.
Exactly.
Oh, the last and most important fact that I have here is none of the dinosaurs were actually voiced by dinosaurs.
Oh, man. Dude, they did a good job then.
That was literally the first thing listed on IMDb under the trivia.
None of the dinosaurs were voiced by real dinosaurs.
Yeah. So nice. I had to bring that in.
I like it.
I just assumed that Frank Welker did all the dinosaurs.
Probably. I mean, he does. I mean, any creature in like a cartoon, it's pretty much Frank Welker. So.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my assumption. Could be wrong, but all I know for sure is that it wasn't real dinosaurs. So take note.
Nice.
So Chris, you never watched this show, but had you right. heard of it before I mentioned it?
I feel like the first time I heard you mention it, it kind of rang a bell, but I didn't really know what it was other than it just made me think of G.I. Joe with dinosaurs. And I mean, that's kind of similar to what it is, but yeah, that's as much as I knew, man. So you were the one to really introduce this kind of thing to me.
Yeah, like I said, I loved this show as a kid, and after watching it again, it's pretty much everything I expected it to be. I was worried it was going to be worse than it was, but I also didn't expect it to be anything spectacular. And so it was about right in between where it fell for me. So let's go ahead and jump into the three episodes we watched for today's show. Very first episode, highest rated episode. Finally, random listener chosen episode. This one was chosen by me. And the order may vary depending on how these episodes fall chronologically, but of course we have to start with the very first episode, being The Adventure Begins, Season 1, Episode 1. Series pilot introduces the main good guys, and bad guys, in the midst of a space chase. Our heroes use the experimental step to escape their enemies by time traveling back to prehistoric Earth.
You know, I never really fully understood the whole step crystal thing, but, you know, whatever. Like, the powers that thing has are just kind of like, you know, whatever you need at the time, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
I know it's an acronym. I can't remember. I think it's like space, time, something, something.
Space, time, energy, processor. I don't know.
Could be.
Need to go back in time? Have a step crystal.
Yeah.
Need to defeat your enemies? Here's the step crystal.
Yeah, all you need to know is that it's what the Valorians are protecting and what the Rulons are after. All 13 episodes, basically.
Right. Need to power a Brontosaurus? Try his step crystal.
Oh yeah, that's right.
It does everything. It slices, it dices. Makes julienne fries.
So on this one, the intro to the very first episode has...
Yeah, what was up with this, man?
It's almost like a take me on
take
thing.
On me?
Yeah, take on me thing. Where
that's literally what I read down. It reminds me of the video for take on me. Like I just want to see some dinosaurs dance around. And even like, take on me.
We just need to see somebody get pulled into a mirror and dinosaurs are on the other side.
the day you're due.
So, for anyone who doesn't know, it's basically colored over video. And in this one, it's a boring museum lecture. And this kid wanders off and... I don't know, goes into a different room where there's dinosaur skeletons fighting. This transitions into the actual cartoon. This completely unnecessary transition.
It had nothing to do with anything.
It could have easily started with just the animation and I would have been on board.
Yeah.
So yeah, the intro made no sense. Luckily, it was only the one episode that they did that.
They were trying to introduce you to what dinosaurs are.
Yeah.
I was like, this is so stupid. Like, why did you put that in there?
It goes to from the showing prehistoric Earth with the dinosaurs to the space battle where
spaceships
where you've got the dreadlock closing in on the Valorian ship and it's the Rulon armada in the dreadlock Oh, the space-time energy projection. That's what the step is. So you were
close. I was
close.
Got the last word wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. So Turret, who comes up in a couple later episodes too, he
is
activates,
a loser.
Yeah. He's basically the technician, the scientist. So he activates the step and they travel.
Step through space and time.
They step, quote unquote, through space and time. But the Rulons have put a tractor beam on them, which I thought was kind of a cool idea that they had that tractor beam attached to them as they warped through space. So it inadvertently took them through that same wormhole and dragged them along with them unknowingly, at least unknown to the Valorians.
Okay, so real quick. So the Valorians are humans, basically. I guess they're futuristic humans.
They're kind of like super powered humans, but they're basically human.
Then the what's the bad guys?
The Rulons.
The Rulons. So they're just a big old mix of weird stuff. So we got like lizard people, and we got shark people and snake people, ant people, just random crap.
The leader, Krulos, is a frog person.
Oh, he's a frog?
Or a toad, oh yeah. God. He's some kind of amphibian thing.
I just figured he's just some kind of lizard. I don't know. Man, they're like Kremlings from Donkey Kong Country, like half of them. I mean, that's all you could say. They're weird, man.
It's almost like if we take it back to Jason the Wheeled Warriors and Saw Boss, then
Saw Boss.
They've got the kind of the different groups of villains where it's like they've got the, like you said, the snake people, the shark people, but they do have kind of leaders at the head of each of them. Rasp is the leader of the snake people.
Like the Vipers, I think they call them.
Yeah,
or something.
The Vipers. And then Hammerhead, I think, is the name, literally the name of the one shark guy, and he's leader of the Sharkons or something.
Aptly named.
Antor is the leader of the ant people, appropriately
they
enough.
They really like, I gotta talk about this real quick. They were super lazy with the names of these characters. I mean, they got Questar, like, you know, he's on a quest, Questar. The kid, you know, you have to have a generic, just crappy child character. His name's literally Lad.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You've got the young, eventually going to be a leader person, Youngstar, so.
Yeah, Youngstar. Oh, good.
So
Lord.
I wonder if their names upgrade with their ranking or something, or is he always going to be Youngstar even when he's old?
Yeah, he's going to be like 80 years old, and he's going to be like, my name is Youngstar. Everyone's gonna be like
the only one with like the actual like real name is, I think, the, is there only one woman in the group?
Serena.
Yeah.
Oh, and the blind guy whose name is Mind's Eye.
Mm-hmm. but not E-Y-E. It's like Z-A-I or something.
It's so it's spelled Mind, like M-I-N-D dash Z-E-I.
Z-E-I, yeah.
Zai. Mind Zai.
Yeah.
Joseph, what did you do?
What did you bring to this table? You know, they have basic toy names that are very, it's kind of just like,
yeah,
what do you do? What's your job? Or what do you look like? And that's what we're going to name you.
Oh, it's totally a He-Man tactic, you know, like Manny Faces and Beast Man and Skeletor.
Yeah.
Know?
Oh, easily. That's the way of the cartoon. So I don't fault it for that too much.
Nah.
So they land on prehistoric Earth. They're trying to get their bearings. They come across dinosaurs and they figure out that it's prehistoric Earth. What's interesting is we see that the Valorians have the ability, at least with the amulets that they have, to telepathically communicate and kind of almost speak. Well, not even almost. They speak with the dinosaurs with those.
Oh, yeah.
The dinosaurs don't speak back, at least in words, but they can kind of understand what they're saying by the emotions that they're showing. So they've got like a telepathic link going on.
So the one thing that I didn't care for with the dinosaurs is that like they hardly ever chose just a straight up dinosaur that you can pronounce. Like instead of a Brontosaurus, it's like a Caramaclocaninus. And you're like, can you just say a Brontosaurus or something, man? I don't.
They're trying to teach.
This is really confusing.
Because there was the Diplodocus, there was the Dimetrodon, there was the, obviously the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, that one's easy.
We did have a Brontosaurus later on.
Right, but like they had a lot of the ones that are not the common named ones. I'm like, can't we just have like a Stegosaurus, a Triceratops, and just make it easy? Yeah.
Yeah, keep it simple for the kids.
Like a raptor. That would be easy. Velociraptor.
They did have some super raptors easy in there. I don't think they ever called them out. But yeah, Mind's Eye, like you said, is blind. He's the grandfather of Serena. When we go over to the Rulons, we see that their initial idea, even before they find the, I think before they even see the Valorians communicating with the dinosaurs, is to build an army of dinosaurs. But they don't have same telepathic ability. So what they do is they build these things called brain boxes that instead of communicating with the dinosaurs, it brainwashes them and puts them under their control and turns their eyes red.
Yeah, that's the big thing is they have allergies to the mind control devices.
The mind control devices are run off of pollen. Poor and things. It shows. Yeah. When I had the toys as a kid, the brain boxes, like those are the coolest looking toys. Like I think one of my favorite figures of the Dino Riders line is the Triceratops. Like, I just love the way that the Triceratops looked with that brain box on because it was like a cool little mask.
I could see that. Like, they do look cool. The design is cool.
Yeah. And
I give them that.
The toys are even better because the animation, I mean, animation is okay. Like, it's not fantastic, but it's not terrible. So the toys, though, those were so well made. I mean, like I said, the Smithsonian even hired these people to make their own exhibit. So that's how cool the toys were.
So the one thing that I thought was weird, so they can talk to the dinosaurs using their amulets, but a T-Rex gets in the mix and starts like attacking and stuff. And they didn't try to communicate with that. Like, I mean, they didn't even make a single attempt, which I thought was strange. Like, if I can talk with other dinosaurs, that would be my first instinct is to try to talk to that one and be like, dude, chill. Chillax, sir.
I feel like the thing about the T-Rex was it was just too angry to be reasoned with or something. It was their thoughts.
Well, maybe.
But I don't know, like you said, why they didn't even try. They could have tried and given us the throwaway line like, oh, God, he's just too angry. I can't speak with him. And then that would have been enough.
He's just too awesome.
He's just too cool. He would be too good for the good guys to have. So, of course, it becomes Krulos's plan to enslave this T-Rex because he's the most powerful of the dinosaurs.
I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, that would be my thing. I'd be like, oh, a giant like beast slaying even bigger beast. I need this. I'm going to ride around on this for a while.
Oh, something else I forgot to mention. So the T-Rex, you know how they're like green with kind of yellow underside, I guess? Supposedly, the dinosaur from Toy Story was inspired by these dinosaurs, at least the toys of these dinosaurs.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Supposedly, yeah.
They definitely didn't get the personality of those dinosaurs with the one from Toy Story.
Yeah, Rex. No, they did not. But yeah, I could see it, though, because even though they're yellow in this one, the underside of the actual toy, I believe, is white, just like Rex's is. So I could see it.
Real quick, who's your favorite character in this show?
Are we talking...
Because there's a lot of them.
Yeah, are we talking Valorians or...
Any out of all the whole show, who is your favorite character?
Rasp. He reminds me of Starscream a lot because he keeps trying to undermine Krulos.
Yeah, he basically is the Starscream of this show.
So it's basically Frank Welker trying to undermine himself.
I do like him. I think Gunner is my favorite though. Gunner's like, he's basically John Wayne being voiced by Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
So I mean. If that sounds cool, it's because it's cool.
Gunner is pretty awesome. Out of the Valorians, he's probably the best one. If not Questar,
he's total BA. Like he doesn't take crap, and like if he doesn't like something, he's gonna call you out and probably make fun of you a little bit. But he's got like the strength and the battle readiness to back it up with. So
yeah, the worst character out of either team is.
I was gonna go with Lad.
You think, oh, well, maybe Lad, but I was thinking...
Lad sucks.
But Lad didn't have a whole episode about how sad he was.
Oh, yeah, Turret did, is pretty terrible.
I think Turret's probably the worst character.
Yeah, Turret's pretty awful. We'll talk more about how terrible he is in the next episode.
So in this one just kind of sets the stage for everything. You've got them both building dinosaur armies with the Valorians building it through communication and... almost just like becoming friends with the dinosaurs or comrades. And then the Rulons just want to take the dinosaurs over. And so they've brainwashed them with those brain boxes. So it's head to head dinosaur versus dinosaur.
There's two things that I enjoyed at the end or towards the end of this episode. So when they have a battle, there's a lot of battles in this cartoon, which is great.
Yeah. I mean,
so there's lots of action and stuff. But there's this one battle where Rasp gets slapped by a pterodactyl wing.
Oh, that was
and
cool.
Gets like knocked off his mount. He falls and then he runs and gets on another dinosaur and immediately gets smacked off of that one too, which that was cracking me up.
Wait, I like when he gets smacked off the dinosaur and falls onto the top of the base. Then he just recovers and he's like, hey, an entrance. And then he's like, hey, shoot this open for me.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But, oh, also when he falls into that base, it's really cool because Mind's Eye turns the lights off because he's blind and he doesn't need them. And so he starts to fight three on one and takes them all on because they can't see anything. So I thought that was a cool idea. That was a great presentation of his skills.
That is cool. But like, my question is, if they're snake people, can't they see in infrared? They'd be able to see him regardless of how much his light is there.
Maybe, but maybe they didn't think that far into it.
I don't think they did. the way they stop the T-Rex, because the T-Rex is doing the most damage, because obviously it's T-Rex, is they shoot the brain box on his head, and then the T-Rex is just like, you know, comes back to his senses, and I'm like, ah, I'm gonna eat the guy that enslaved me, and he gets mad and chases Grulos.
Yeah, he chases him off. And then at the end of the episode, the Valorians are like, we're not Valorians anymore. We're Dino Riders.
And then I think it's either Lad or...
I wrote that down too, that Yee-Hoo.
Which one was it? Was it Lad or Youngster? I mean, they're both terrible.
I feel like it was Youngster. I don't think Lad does that kind of stuff.
Good. He shouldn't do
anything.
He
really doesn't do much.
Yeah. He only shows up once in a while to be annoying.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only reason, because it's like all of those shows, like Mask and everything, have that one just super obnoxious kid that just gets in the way. Yeah. And that is his,
that's his lot in life. Yeah. Because he's always coming up like, let me come with you or I can help. And exactly. They're just like, no, Lad, get away.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, especially here. Gunner. Gunner's just like, get out of here, Lad.
Yeah.
Get out of here, Lad.
Right. He does have that John Wayne kind of cadence to his voice, too.
Oh, yeah. He was totally based on... It's Space John Wayne is what he is.
Space John Wayne, yeah.
Space Wayne.
Space Wayne. So, the second episode we watched for today's show was T-Rex. That was literally what it's called, T-Rex. Season 1, Episode 6. I chose this one because it was called T-Rex, and I wanted to see what it was about. And
it was about Turret.
It was about Turret, yeah. It was surprisingly more about Turret than it was a T-Rex. So the T-Rex has received a weapons upgrade that Krulos is eager to test in the field.
So awesome. Oh, man.
His weapon upgrade. This is the very first thing we see. It's hilarious. So he opens asking Rasp if he's made improvements to the T-Rex as he commanded. So he's got more lasers. He's got armored legs that have buzz saws on them, which is hilarious. But the best part is he's got these claws on his crotch, like where his crotch would be, he's got claws that come out. So he's got his, you know, his T-Rex arms, and then he's got some other little arms that are like where his belly is. So,
and they're longer than his T-Rex arms because T-Rex arms are so tiny.
That's
they can't
true.
Do push-ups.
Yeah.
But these ones are metal and long and retractable, and they cut through pretty much anything.
And we see that I think the T-Rex is piloted by three or four people, because we've got, in the first episode, it was just Krulos, but now that it's got all these expansions to him, it's Krulos on top. You've got Rasp controlling the belly claws. You've got...
the crotch claws.
Yeah, the crotch claws. You've got Hammerhead on the back doing something, and one of them is on the side controlling both of those turrets. So now it's just like I don't know how the T-Rex can really stand anymore. He's got so much junk on him.
Yeah, I love it. The buzz saws was the best part.
That was
man.
The best part.
Like, I think he could legitimately take on Sawboss and become the new Sawboss.
Yeah. Saw Rex.
Boss Rex.
Boss Rex, yeah.
Boss Rex.
Oh, I hope that becomes a thing now.
If no one knows what we're talking about when we say Saw Boss, go back to the Jason the Wheeled Warriors episode and you'll find out and you'll thank us later.
You'll appreciate it, yeah. Or you'll never listen to another episode. But either way.
Yeah, that's true.
Check it out.
One of those.
So the changes were made, the quote unquote upgrades were made to the T-Rex. I guess they were upgrades, but he's just a giant tank now, basically. where it goes to Turret is he's trying to find something to do. Like, no one needs him. And so at this point, Questar is talking to this one guy, Icon, who we hadn't seen before this episode, or at least he wasn't first episode.
Yeah.
And Icon is like a percentage like battle guy. So he's like, he just asks him, hey, like, Icon, what chance will we, what chance is it that we'll see the T-Rex again? And he's like, 99.9%. Like, I don't know if he's guessing or what he's doing.
I feel like Icon just makes figures up so that he's relevant.
I'm pretty sure I could have given that same figure to Questar had he asked me, because I'm pretty...
Right.
Like, I'm almost positive the T-Rex is going to be back. They're not just going to give it up.
Oh, yeah. I would just be like, 50-50.
Yeah, for everything.
Every
like,
time.
Oh, you're so wise, Chris.
You know what? I like Questar as a character, which is weird because usually those main characters I'm not fond of. But I like him. But I have a problem in that he's basically a bobblehead. Whenever he talks, his head is constantly moving around and his hair is flapping everywhere. It's just like he's got Tourette's or something. It's just constantly in motion.
Yeah, he is really, he does move a lot when he talks, but he's a good character.
He's driving me crazy.
Oh, we also get to see Serena, who we find out can also heal. And this is what I say when I mean when I say
that is random.
I feel like they have like superpowers to some degree, like light superpowers. Yeah. Because she's able to heal, and so she heals a baby dinosaur's leg in this one. Turret asks if she can help, or if he can help, and she's like, nah, like, I'll just heal him. Like, I don't need you right now. And,
right.
Yeah. So he's depressed. He's saying, like, he's not wanted and not needed. And then, but he's talking to his dinosaur that he, you know, partners with, while he's telling him, like, that he's not needed. And this is a Styracosaurus. It falls asleep listening to Turret's story.
So that's what I'm talking about. Styracosaurus. They couldn't just have a freaking Triceratops. What is this? But this is when, like, so the bad guys decide to attack around this point. And what I love this is, like, Krulos comes in on his giant T-Rex with all the crap on it now. But yet, like, again, like, huge battle. And it's kind of awesome. Like, one of the flying guys gets blown straight out of the air. And I was like, dude, they went, like, they went hardcore for this one because that thing, like, exploded or something. And then Turret comes in trying to sound all bad, but he immediately gets, like, taken out with the swipe of a tail from the T-Rex.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So he's proven even more useless in this battle. Like, this was his chance to shine, and he does nothing.
Well, especially because it's like Krulos is like, I don't even need to waste time with you. Like, you're nothing.
Like, Krulos could have finished him up, but he voices it that he doesn't need to waste his time on like trash like him. So
so funny.
So no one respects Turret. This is where we get to see those buzzsaw legs coming into play too, because that's how they break through the initial barricade wall, is with the buzzsaw legs.
It's so stupid looking, but I love it. I love it.
Yeah, he's after the step crystal, of course. He doesn't get it this time. I think they're able to push him off.
Well, yeah, because what happens is Turret comes back again and does the same thing they did last time, just shoots the brain box and blows it off again.
No, that's right.
Krulos gets chased by his T-Rex again. He gets chased up a mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
Rasp has to come in and save him. And it kind of sounds like they're flirting a little when Rasp, like, finally gets him.
What happens when the T-Rex is chasing Krulos up the mountain is the T-Rex eventually, like, goes off and meets back up with his mate and his, I guess, the T-Rex child, the baby T-Rex. So Krulos's idea is to get this baby T-Rex, drop it into the Valorian base, because the parent T-Rexes are both going to come after it and just attack. He's not even going to bother, like, brain boxing the T-Rex again right now. He's just like, I just want the T-Rex to get in there and trash the place, and then I'll clean up afterwards.
Yeah, he's just going to basically cause as much havoc as possible and then swoop in and get the crystal after it's all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, it's not a bad plan, honestly.
No, it makes sense.
In the meantime, because Turret's so emo, he leaves everybody and decides to make a mirror because Serena.
Serena asked
about
it. Well,
instead of making a mirror, he decides to make like five.
Yeah, conveniently.
I don't know why.
Plot, that's why, plot.
Because plot, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a good amount of time of him making these mirrors out of silver that he finds.
What's kind
of
interesting is how he's describing the process of making the mirror. I don't know how to make a mirror personally, so I don't know how much truth there is to any of that, but he describes...
I feel like he wasn't right.
he describes in not great detail, but in some detail, how he's like getting the silver, he's melting it down or like shaving it down and cleaning it up and then, you know, waxing it off or whatever he's doing, polishing it.
All he literally does is, well, luckily he already has a mirror-sized mold that he has with him for some reason.
Of course.
And he melts the silver, puts it in the mold, and then he just polishes it and it's a mirror. And I'm like, I don't feel like that's how they're made.
Yeah.
I think there's glass involved maybe, but...
yeah. Like I said, I'm pretty sure
who knows?
It's not accurate, but... I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, this is coming from a show that where they ride dinosaurs and they're from space.
Yeah, but the
So funny, I mean, you know.
The funny part was though that they like he went to great lengths to describe how he was doing it. He couldn't I mean, it would have been fine if he had just made it and we'd have been like, all right, well that's ridiculous, but you know, I don't know how to make mirrors. But instead he gives a step by step, but it's like, well, that's not how you make mirrors, but okay, like
yeah.
We'll follow.
But luckily, he attaches all five mirrors to his whatever that dinosaur that isn't a Triceratops is called.
Styracosaurus.
Starts heading back to camp, and he'll inadvertently save the day.
He really does accidentally save the day in this one. So the T-Rexes see their reflection in this mirror, and I guess that just scares them off.
Yeah, it's like, so the T-Rex, the plan goes through, they drop the baby T-Rex, Serena and Youngstar are like, oh no, what do we do? You know, the big T-Rexes come in, they're going to start attacking. And then he just kind of moseys on in with all of his mirrors and they see their reflection. And they're like, oh, let's leave. And then the dinosaurs turn around and start chasing Krulos again.
Yeah. Because of his accidentally saving the day, he gets awarded a Medal of Bravery.
Right.
And so does his Styracosaurus. Around its horn. And then it becomes one of those things where like everybody's laughing at the end.
Yee-hoo! Yee-hoo!
So the last episode we watched for today's show was One to Lead Us, season 1, episode 13, which was, like I said, last episode of the first season and the last episode of the official Dino Riders before it went to the Ice Age. Ice Age failed because, and I'm going into that a little bit more, they left all the dinosaurs behind. So officially, they weren't even Dino Riders anymore. So they
right.
come to the Ice Age where it's like, I know a woolly mammoth was one of them. Yeah, so they're like, what are they called now? It's not Dino Riders.
I'm going to guess it's a mammoth and a saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah.
Maybe a giant sloth.
Maybe. I mean, what else you got?
I don't know
what else you've got.
Maybe they just started making up some animals.
They probably made like ice dinosaurs or something.
Yeah, Isosaur.
Yeah, Isosaurus. Sorry, that was a small tangent. But in the One to Lead Us, season 1, episode 13, suspected of secretly dealing with Krulos, Questar shocks his people by refusing to submit to the trial of Path. Okay, here's one thing, though. There's an episode before this that actually goes into the first is the pursuit of the Brontosaurus, and then it's Krulos making up this plan to frame Questar, which is what this episode kind of begins with. So
right.
we could have watched that last episode 12, but we didn't need to necessarily to figure out what was going on.
Yeah, we kind of figured it out as the episode went. Basically, like Questar, there's some evidence found that makes it look like Questar had begun colluding with Krulos.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, you know, this sounds like fake news. Where are the tapes? Mind's Eye. Mind's Eye is the leaker. He's leaking all the stuff and the tapes, and he's colluding with Russia and Krulos. And
yeah, so he is useful as always, Mind's Eye. But all they want him to do, and I don't even know exactly what it is, but they want him to do this trial of, what is it, trial of Path? Yeah.
Yeah, trial of Path.
Trial by the
and
Path.
We don't really know exactly what it is, except that it involves everybody.
Yeah, that's one thing
reason.
That they do let us know. And Questar tells us, it's like, I can't submit to this trial of Path because it will take everyone's focus off the mission at hand, and they'll all have to do the trial of Path, whatever it is. So, no.
Right.
He refuses, and he just goes off on his own to find a way to prove his innocence.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just gonna leave.
Yeah, because that's a great way to prove your innocence.
Well, and this, I thought this was strange. So, like, he leaves, and that's when, like, Krulos attacks. He hears the attack, comes back and watches, and then says, I have to leave. What? Why?
Yeah, doesn't he help a little bit? And then he's just like, all right, well, I'm out again.
No, he comes back again later and then helps.
That's what it was. Okay.
Yeah. And then leaves again.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Because they pretty much, the Valorians, the Dino Riders at this point, they pretty much fail hard without Questar leading them.
They're complete idiots without Questar. Yeah. Like, it's sad.
Yeah.
Like, so they have, like, three people trying to lead. It's, like, Mind's Eye, Gunner, and Icon. And Gunner and Icon are arguing about how to, where the defenses need to be heaviest and stuff like that. And for some reason, even though neither of them are talking about the aerial support, the pterodactyls up there start crashing into each other and stuff.
Oh, I'm like, yeah.
Are you guys just dumb? Like, how do you not know not to run into each other?
Yeah, so they feel completely helpless without Questar at the head. They have, at this point, and like I said, this happened in the previous episode, they've captured a Brontosaurus, which is this huge dinosaur. And it's got, like, a capsule on the side to hold people. It's got a commanding department on top and whatever. And, of course, missiles right. and lasers on the side. But what happens is this Brontosaurus gets trapped and then brainboxed, of course, by the Rulons.
And so I think it was Serena and maybe it was Icon and Turret were inside. And then, and the Step Crystal is inside it. Why they brought the Step Crystal into battle, I don't know, because that seems like a horrible idea.
Yeah.
But so the bad guys get in there and Serena and Icon, like, basically just leave Turret behind and run. Turret gets captured, but instead of just, like, finishing him off, they just throw him out because, like, nobody cares about Turret.
Yeah.
He gets ditched. The bad guys don't even want to kill him.
Yeah, they're there. They have him dead to rights, and they just toss him out of the Brontosaurus. So though he had his, you know, redemption in episode 6, it's worn off and
right.
no
they
longer
forgot
useful.
About him already.
He must have lost his badge of honor or whatever, badge of bravery.
And then, then they have the Step Crystal. The bad guys have it. Turret gets shot. Like, this is after he gets tossed out of the thing. And, like, some other part of the battle is going on. He gets shot in the kneecap or something.
Yeah. Questar comes back right on time. I think it's Icon or maybe somebody else who quotes him the chance of winning without, them the chance of winning with Questar is 78%. And he's just like, all right, well, we better get to it.
And at one point they say something like their chances of winning with, or their chances of survival without Questar leading them is 3%.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you guys that incompetent?
Right.
Like,
that's
good Lord.
How useless they are without Questar.
Whatever happens if he has a sick day, they're just going to all die.
Not allowed. What if he's killed in battle? What if he dies or something?
Right.
Natural
then they
causes,
all die,
maybe.
I guess.
Yeah, it's
at
over.
Least, you know, 97% of them die.
Yeah. The other 3%, they'll move on.
Right. Turtle will be the only one left because nobody even cares.
Yeah. Yeah. Rulons won't even try to recruit him or anything. He'll just be left on his own.
Right.
Oh, I saw this one group, and I'm sure they had been around in previous episodes, but we didn't see them before this. Astra and the Commandos, which are basically like they're not a stealth crew, but they're kind of
they're like a Black Ops sort of team.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a Black Ops team. And it's weird that we had never seen him before. Maybe that's how stealthy they were, so much so that we didn't even see them.
We had no idea they were in the show because they were that stealthy.
Yeah.
No, like, which with each episode we watched, like in the very first, the pilot, there was like so many of these Dino Riders. And in each episode, they all seem to like double in number. And by this point, there's probably like, I don't know, it seems like there's 100 of these people, and I'm like, where do they keep coming from?
Yeah.
Do they procreate that fast, even though there's only one female in this whole freaking place?
Yeah, they're already adults. They multiply.
It's like she lays eggs and they all hatch as adults.
Astra's group is like a flying crew. Like they have like some kind of like mechanized wings or something to them. Rocket packs maybe.
Well, a lot of the Dino Riders were taken captive because, I mean, they basically fell in battle before Questar got back.
Yeah.
Only a few of them really survived, the Commandos being part of that. The rest of them were captured. So the Commandos basically break into Krulos's like compound. They silently take a bunch of people out. They're like BA, dude. They're like taking everybody down, like all quiet and stuff. They basically free everybody. And then Rasp is like, Krulos, like, they're escaping. And he's like, that's part of my plan. And I'm just like, no, it's not. Like, you just found out and you're like, oh, yeah, I totally meant for that to happen. That's a great idea. I meant them to escape, but I didn't capture them for any reason.
Yeah, this will be a great way to test my particle beam cannon. Yeah.
Right. Oh God.
Particle beam cannon.
He's just trying to save face. Yeah. He's embarrassed. Yeah.
Since it has it's being powered by the step crystal, it has really powerful destructive properties. It gets tested on a mountain or something, and it doesn't destroy the mountain, but it like makes a big hole in it. So he's impressed.
Yeah.
So they start.
Holes are impressive.
They start to try to test it. Valorians have set a trap for the Brontosaurus where these trees like come down. Or wait.
Oh yeah, they went full Ewok in this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
They made traps out of trees and stuff.
The idea was so that they could destroy the command center or destroy the brain box on the Brontosaurus so that they could take it over or take it back. And Questar goes in to the Brontosaurus command center to face Krulos alone. This was a cool battle.
This was interesting.
I like how it ended up too. Kind of.
Oh, real quick before we get to that, there was one part like right before, I think right before those two fought, Krulos's voice changed. He went from sounding Dr. Claw to full on Megatron. Maybe he was recording for both shows that same day, which is very possible.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of this cast was in Transformers. You know, who knows? But yeah, like, he lost the deepness of the Dr. Claw, and it went to that different pitch, which is the voice of Megatron. And it was just for, like, one or two lines, and then it went back to the deep, gravelly Dr. Claw thing.
So they're fighting in there, and then, like, I guess I didn't realize that Krulos's helmet had water in it since he was an amphibian and he needed it to continue breathing.
Yeah.
And so what happens is Questar cracks it and the water starts to leak out. And Krulos, he's not even at this point fighting anymore. He's just like, I'm dying. I'm suffocating.
He's almost in tears, man. Yeah. He's like, water. I need water.
The mighty have fallen. And Questar could have gotten rid of him right there, but you know, it's a kid's cartoon, so it's not how it's gonna happen. And he tells him, he's like, I could like take you out right now, but destroying another life is not our way. So,
well, what's weird is he turns to the camera and says it.
Oh, yeah, he breaks
like
the fourth
wall.
The
only time they broke the fourth wall, he's like, destroying a life is not our way.
It's almost like PSA mixed in
there.
Are
you talking to me?
Yeah, so killing is wrong.
Which I'm like, that's stupid. Like, I get not killing him. It's a kid's cartoon. Or if it's not your way, no, don't kill him. But at least take the guy prisoner so he doesn't capture the T-Rex again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess it didn't matter since it was like the last episode.
That's true. They're about to go to the Ice Age. They figure they could get away from him.
But seriously, I'm like, okay, if you've got him dead to rights, so why not capture the guy and imprison him?
At least
that doesn't make any sense. So why let him go?
Right.
At least put some duct tape on his helmet. Feel
yeah,
bad
at least help him out.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not going to take a life, but I'm going to watch you drown in air.
Yeah, I'm not going to kill you, but nobody said I couldn't watch you die.
Oh, that's basically the end of Batman Begins, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to kill you, but I have to save you.
So when Questar gets back to everybody, the device is found that makes him look like a traitor. I don't remember what it was called. Some kind of box again.
It was basically like a USB drive or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
With incriminating files on Questar. Yeah.
Yeah. It was the fake tapes.
Yeah. So they, the last line, at least of basically the last line of the series, because the next episode doesn't count since it's a new series and a crappy one. Is united in our plan for peace and harmony, and Krulos will never change that. So that's it. That's how they end it. They unite together, and even though they don't take Krulos prisoner or anything, he's never going to change the fact that they have a plan for peace and harmony. And they're together again because everyone trusts Questar again.
If Krulos gets in the Ice Age and his helmet's full of water, wouldn't his head just freeze?
Maybe that's why maybe it ended one episode for that reason. Krulos just couldn't survive in that temperature.
He just died.
Yeah.
It's like a matter of minutes. He's just dead.
Yeah. That would actually be really funny. That would redeem that episode for me.
That would be hilarious. Rasp takes over.
Yes.
Well, Rasp wouldn't last either because they're all cold-blooded, man. They would all die.
Oh, yeah. So the Ice Age just wouldn't make sense.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know if ants can survive. Yeah, probably not. They're all dead.
Yeah.
They're all dead. That's why only lasted one episode.
The Rulons Yeah, they die like the aliens in what is it? Signs, where they're
where water kills them.
Yeah, exactly. The atmosphere gets them. So
that made no sense. Like they're like these aliens that die if they go to get exposed to water, come to the only planet that's mostly covered with water.
Yeah, they didn't think
what
it through.
What a genius plan.
Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we use our step crystal to travel back to the 80s dressed up in those inflatable T-Rex costumes to scare our inner kids, and then, assuming they don't end up trapping and brainboxing us to use as battle mounts, see what they thought of the show Dino Riders.
Wait. So we have space adventurers and aliens riding on dinosaurs with laser guns and buzzsaws? It's like someone made a cartoon of all my hopes and dreams. I can't wait to grow up and be a dino rider, so I gave this cartoon 4 bowls of thank God for 80s cartoon cereal out of 5.
As a sum of its parts, I'll admit that Dino Riders fall short of being perfect. But that doesn't mean it wasn't amazing. Heroes fighting villains bent on world domination may be standard cartoon affair, but how many of those cartoons can you say mounted buzzsaw leg armor on a Tyrannosaurus Rex to battle a missile-laden Brontosaurus? I'm waiting. Yeah, that's what I thought. This was a novel concept with a great deal of appeal to kids my age. In short, you can't really go wrong combining dinosaurs with lasers. Overall, I'd give Dino Riders 4 big bowls of Bronto Bite cereal out of 5. Even if you don't watch the cartoon, you should still check out the fantastic toys. And then, when you're through checking them out, it turns out they'll make great presents for me and Chris. Please, we'll never ask for anything ever again. I promise.
And to this day, nobody gave me those toys. So thanks for nothing.
And my fingers were crossed as a kid anyway, so I didn't really mean that I promised it. I would still ask for further things after that.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to ask for a lot of things. Get ready. Get ready for all the things. I want all of them. So do you have any final thoughts on Dino Riders?
I was not disappointed. Like, this is what I expected it to be. It was made to sell toys, so, you know, it is what it is. But I just really like the idea, and the designs for the dinosaurs is really what sells me on it still to this day. When I look at the box art for the toys, it still looks amazing. Like, it still was so well done, and the toy design was spectacular for the toys of the time in the 80s. So still, I mean, if I could ever find a Dino Riders figure for a reasonable price, I would still grab it and keep it on my desk or something, because I think it was a great series. They kind of screwed themselves trying to make it into something else later on. Otherwise, I think it really could have continued, and I'm sad that it didn't, but hopefully, like I said, we'll get that movie one day.
I was expecting this to be pretty bad, but I was really surprised with how much I enjoyed it. The first episode didn't capture my attention that much, but I felt like the show got better with each additional episode that we saw. It does have its flaws. It's got some super cheesy and lazy character names, as well as a few audio and visual mistakes. But, I mean, it's a cartoon that knew exactly what it was, while still keeping somewhat of a serious tone to it. And I feel like it really worked. I'm really surprised this didn't go on longer, which, I mean, doing the Ice Age thing kind of explains why. What a terrible idea, because if they wouldn't have done that, I feel like this could have kept going.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to bet that at some point there will be some sort of reboot or the movie like you talked about. I really hope we see that. Or at least, like, I would love to see a darker take comic book series. If they already had the 3, picking that up again, I think the way they did He-Man and stuff like those comics, if they did that kind of treatment to this property, that would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be awesome to have either have DC take it or IDW even, since they do all sorts of those mix-ins. Because then they could have like cross-universe stuff too. So
yeah, I see. IDW or Dark Horse or something would be amazing.
Yeah, with the serious tone to it, like you said. Yeah, that would be that would be perfect. Of all the cartoons that we've watched lately that I've wanted to have, like, more serious takes on or comics out of whatever, like, this is one that I really hope they do one day. And I don't see why they wouldn't. It seems perfect for a reboot.
I feel like we had a discussion on our other podcast several years ago when we were talking about cartoons we would like to see made into movies. I'm pretty sure this was your pick.
I wouldn't doubt it. And maybe they will. I mean, that's as far as through the grapevine, that's what I've heard, so we'll see.
Just let's keep Michael Bay away from it, because dinosaurs with laser guns sounds like his wet dream. So do not let him know about this.
Yeah, we don't need explosions every frame.
Yes, exactly. dinosaurs exploding, he would just be all over it.
Actually, though, if IDW... Wait, does IDW have Transformers? I can't remember. I think they do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
It would be awesome to see Grimlock and the other, like, dinosaur Transformers fighting against the Dino Riders.
Oh, my God. That would be cool.
That would be amazing. So, thanks, me, for picking this. This was awesome.
Thanks, Joseph.
Yes. You're welcome. Well, listeners, looks like our milk supply is now run dry, so it's time for us to say goodbye. Next week, we'll be watching
Rurouni Kenshin, suggested via Facebook Messenger by Curie.
Once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
We'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.